Hey, hey, we're the Potters. People say we cosplay around. Welcome to episode 183, Potters of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. I do these things purposefully to make Val just kind of give me the weird, what are you doing face, which is exactly what I'm getting right now.
You're getting that now, and now I'm just going to be like, oh man, how am I going to edit the year-end video? Because that's not going to fit in anything.
I do that to mess up the end of year montage, because I can't start every episode with, hey, welcome to episode blah. You have to change
so
often.
They do it on radio shows all the time and on other podcasts. You can be consistent. It's okay.
We have to be different.
Consistency is good.
Ah, we have to be different. Hi, Potters. Welcome to Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay and all weird things as well. We're trying really hard not to freeze here. It is March and it's supposed to be getting warmer where we can do all the happy cosplays and go do photo shoots outside with the trees in blossom and flowers blooming everywhere and all these picturesque places. No, it's supposed to be 19 in the morning.
My mouse pad has more flowers and color on it than outside.
But that doesn't stop conventions from happening in the area or scheduling their new locations. So there is that. Next weekend, there's going to be the North Texas Irish Festival. And I really hope that it's much warmer than it will be tomorrow morning.
Oh, hopefully so. And it's hard to tell because the weather just keeps constantly fluctuating so much that you just have to play a guessing game. Like, just bring sweater with you. And if you don't need to wear it, just hold it.
Well, you know, there's something to be said, speaking of costuming, for accuracy, because, you know, if it's 40 degrees outside and you're going to an Irish festival whose traditional garb involves kilts, you probably want to be a little bit warmer. All right, let's go into cosplay updates. We've gone off on tangents already.
It's bad, but it's okay. That's part of the fun.
Yes.
Well, for my cosplay updates, obviously you can see the thing I have here. I've been very productive this week, even though I've been working a ton with my 9 to 5 job. I'm air quoting the crud out of that because it's not really 9 to 5 anymore. But I've been doing a lot of fun stuff, and I kind of came up with this idea maybe a week ago because I have a bunch of extra fabric. I didn't want to get rid of it, but I knew I wanted to make something out of it. So I decided to draft up something, and I'm going to see if this will boop. There we go. So I'm doing a 1937 version of Snow White, because that's my thing lately. Yay. Because that's when the original movie from Disney was released. And I thought, oh, you know, that may be kind of fun to kind of take that style, but twist it to her color scheme, which is why I have the nice royal blue on the top and the lovely, lovely yellow satin on the bottom. Oh, stuff is so great. And I got a chance to play with my serger a lot more, so that's been fun too. And I think I whipped up the skirt in just a couple of hours. The top only took me half a day. I mean, I still have to do a little bit of edits on the inside because it's a little more loose than what I wanted it to be, but I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I can use this at all con. I think that'll be great. I'm just going to make a red hat for it to kind of represent her bow. I already have the wig done. I've got the makeup ready to go. I've got the shoes ready. So it's just taking stuff I already had in my inventory and making something out of it instead of letting it sit. And I find that I do that a lot lately. Kind of keeps the creative mind tuning. But yeah, I'm really happy with this. And this is actually the first time I've ever patterned a high-waisted skirt like this before. So I'm very pleasantly surprised at how easy it was. Cause I always make things out to be a lot more complicated in my head until I start drafting. And then I was like, oh yeah, it really is that simple. And didn't have to line it. So I just serged everything. Oh my god, I love my serger. It's so wonderful and great. Other than that, it's just been working on CosPod things, trying to get everything ready for all con, getting the music mixed together, getting last minute stuff signed off and all that funness. And then there has been a little bit of beating progress, but not as much as I would hope for. It's getting there, sort of, kind of. It'll get done eventually. I got sidetracked. Because that's what cosplayers do, is we get sidetracked with other projects. Your turn, Amber!
Especially when there's upcoming conventions and you want something new to wear.
And that wasn't the intent. It was just say, hey, this could be really fun, so why don't I just make it? Oh, and then I spend all my time on this. This is why my big projects don't get done in a very timely manner. Of course she has fabric with her.
Of course I have fabric with me. Can't even really see me at this point. This is actually not done. It's a little hard to see. It's actually about half done. You can kind of see my lines aren't completely filled in. Let me tell you that painting on linen weave is a bear and a half. Because holy cow, this stuff does not like to take clean paint lines. There's always these little fiber pieces, little hairs that stick out everywhere, and they take to paint really well when you don't want it to. And because these are curved lines, I can't just put down like a bunch of masking tape to have it clean itself up. So I have to do this very painstakingly by hand. This is actually more painstaking than the puff paint embroidery you guys have seen me do. And that says a lot, which is why it's taking me for freaking ever, because I have to sit here and do this. It takes me a long time. But my goal is to have this done for AllCon. So this will basically be my casual cosplay outfit for AllCon. Because I already have the wig, I have all the parts, basically. All I have to do is redo the tunic. So once I finish painting this, it'll be just a bunch of really fast sewing. And everything will be fully aligned. All the parts are already cut out. I just have to assemble. So that's been my cosplay progress. I've actually been out of town this weekend. So unfortunately, I lost about 4 days, but I made money. So there is that. So I can finance my cosplay hobby, which is always a good thing. And look, it's the official AllCon cosplay contest. Duct tape.
It is the most safetiest of safety yellow I have ever seen.
It is. This is freaking chartreuse. But we're going to make it extra obvious where people stand on stage so that you can pose and have your awesome pictures all over the internet. Between that and looking at material for the halftime show, basically I've spent what other small amount of free time that I've had working on AllCon stuff.
Kind of what we have to do at this time of year. It's a lot of just getting things together and finalizing.
We've basically got 2 weeks until AllCon. And of course, if this is your first time tuning into the show, or if you've recently joined us, we are running AllCon's cosplay contest this year, the only cosplay contest they're going to have. And so with only less than 2 weeks left to go, we're basically in frantic finish everything up mode, because basically we do everything ourselves. We procure the judges and we do the halftime show. We MC, we make sure that we register all the cosplayers. We do all the things except for set up the audio video equipment for the most part. Although we do still have to set up some of that as well. That has pretty much been the amount of cosplay I've been able to get done in the last 2 weeks.
Alrighty then. So with that, we're going to do probably one of the most awkward transition sequences I'm ever going to do. We have an interview incoming, so...
Hey Potter, so we have a special treat for you today. I know we have not done an interview in a little while, so we thought that we would bring you guys a really epic interview to get back into it. So we have Trixie here, and she is from the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network. And we're going to go ahead and talk with her a little bit about the network, you know, how it came to be, what sort of resources it has to offer. And so we're going to show that to you guys now. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it.
And just to give you guys a little bit of a warning before we start the interview, the subject of today's interview will be discussing some potentially triggering topics such as harassment, assault, and abuse. So please be aware before watching this episode. And if at any time the content feels a little overwhelming, it's okay to hit pause and step away. Clear your head. Just come back whenever you're ready, because we will still be here. If you feel that you need to reach out and talk to someone, we'll have resources linked below this video, and we encourage you to utilize them. So, Trixie, speak. It's your turn. Say hello to everybody, please.
Hello. It's so great to meet you all. my name is Trixie, as you've been told. I'm about 30 years old. I am bisexual. I am new in town. Does anybody get that joke? I don't know. The young kids will. I don't know. John Mulaney. and I have cosplayed since about 2014. More seriously. I do formal balls and DJing and hosting at various cons, mostly in the Midwest, but I am also the founder of the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network.
So tell us about the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network and how it came to be.
So I myself am a survivor of rape, as well as, you know, I've been harassed, I've been stalked, I've had some abuse in my life, and I've actually suffered CPTSD as well as PTSD, which is complex, either recurring or like a childhood thing. And so with that experience in mind, when I went back into the cosplay community, I started to notice that, you know, we sort of had an expectation of harassment. I went to cosplay something that was revealing, and I was like, well, I got to make sure that I go with my guy friends and have them be my bodyguards, because wait a second, why is that a thing? I don't know. So it progressed sort of, I would say, 2016, around New York Comic Con, which is in October. I was doing an event at New York Comic Con. It was the only time I would get to go because I was an exhibitor. So I was wearing an outfit that was my favorite character, Velvet Crow from Tales of Berseria. Again, a revealing outfit. And, you know, just I love the game so much. I love the character and everything she represents. And I was really excited to go. And I'm, you know, half dressed in the morning, sitting in the hotel watching, you know, whatever's on TV and trying to eat my breakfast. And on the news comes some political stuff. It was the weekend that it was revealed, you know, grab them sort of a thing. So here I was sitting in costume about to go to one of the biggest conventions, if not the biggest convention on the East Coast in the United States. And, you know, knowing that people were going to be glaring and, you know, maybe even touching me inappropriately, maybe saying things that might not seem inappropriate to other people, but definitely are. So I just sort of thought to myself how lonely it was to feel that way and to feel like, you know, nobody at New York Comic Con is going to be asking the question, how do you feel as a cosplayer, you know, who is also somebody who's experienced sexual assault and, you know, all those other things. How does that make your experience different from maybe, you know, just somebody who's never been, I can't say never been harassed because unfortunately most of us have been, but somebody who's never been through an experience like that. So it really is different. So after that, actually on election day, I decided to do something about it. And I decided to found the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network. And by the way, thank you guys for nailing the pronunciation because a lot of people don't. It's a long name, but just CSSN is what I'll probably be calling it from now out. So yeah, and what we do is we're basically just a for us, by us group of people who've been stalked, harassed, abused, sexually assaulted, bullied, and preyed upon might be another term you could consider you'd be a category to fit in. Right now we're focusing on auditing sort of what policies conventions have for harassment policies and trying to grade them on a report card scale, which I'll explain later. And in the future, we want to be able to have people, you know, go out and photograph those conventions and, you know, see if they're actually living up to that policy, if they're actually helping you. It'd be a little bit hard to, like, you know, test how their system works unless you actually have something happen to you, heaven forbid. But we want to make sure that, you know, these things are actually being changed and not just kind of lip service, as you can do easily on the internet, but not so easily when somebody needs help in real life. So we also want to do some outreach, go to more conventions and present panels, talk to people about these issues, because oftentimes, you know, either they don't have the content because they don't feel like people will attend it, or, you know, they're afraid of it, or it's done by somebody who doesn't necessarily know what the qualifications are that they might need to, you know, handle the subject matter. So we want to make sure that we're at the forefront of that. And yeah, and just make sure that, you know, we're getting the word out that we exist and that we're here to hear you.
Indeed. And you guys have an awesome website, which not only has resources both for survivors and for people who want to support survivors, but you also, as you mentioned, have report cards for conventions that do show how conventions handle harassment and their policies for that sort of thing. And so what prompted your team to create this rating system for cons and their harassment policies?
Oh, absolutely. I started doing some research. I'm also a volunteer at Uplift, and it's an organization that is, you know, against sexual violence in our communities. They started on YouTube. So I was doing research for them based on the cons that they've gone to, what the policies were at those cons and how they improved them. And then I started looking at other conventions and I was like, oh, so your only thing about harassment in here is harassment of any kind is not tolerated. And then you have about five paragraphs explaining what props you can and can't have, the length of the chain that you may or may not be wearing on your clothes. It seemed kind of ludicrous to me that we could have such rules that we do need for things like what you can wear and, you know, what you can carry and all those types of things. But harassment, they just kind of like said, well, we're not going to deal with it. Well, yeah, but how exactly are you going to handle that? It can't just be, you know, not tolerated, go away, because who's going to catch that? Who's going to be the one, you know, catching it when you report it? If you report it, if you have anywhere you can report it, which in some cases you don't. So in that research, I sort of noticed that along with that sort of just harassment is not tolerated, there was a lot of cosplay is not consent. And that was it. So what does that mean? You know, it was only signage that was up that said cosplay is not consent, but there's no proof that that's even working. There's no definition as to what it means for people who don't get it. And as cosplayers, our audience is mostly people who are not cosplayers. The people who come and photograph us, most of the time, not cosplayers. Although it's great to have your friends take pictures with you. It's fantastic. But to be realistic, these people don't understand what it's like to be on this side of the camera and what we are, you know, experiencing in that moment, as well as in every moment that we're spending at a convention. So that also covers only a specific scenario. Like I'm saying, you know, photographer, cosplayer. Well, we existed a lot of different ways at conventions. We were, you know, giving panels, we're eating with our friends, we're attending panels, we're buying merch, we're doing all the things that you do. It's not just, you know, I'm here and I'm standing here and you're going to take my picture. No, you might, you know, find me in Artist Alley and I might be with my friend and, you know, might not want to do that. Or it's after hours, we're hanging out with a group of friends. I don't know you. Maybe you just sort of like come on to me in an uncomfortable way. That can be part of it too. So we here at CSS Center are looking for the worst case scenario, which heaven forbid should happen. We want to prepare for that instead of just, well, they took a picture that I didn't want them to take, which is, you know, not to mitigate that at all, because that is still a serious thing and it still really, really sucks when it happens. But it's something that the policies should cover all the way to the worst case there, because there will be times when you'll need to use it and you don't want to wait until that time to find out what the resources are and how that system works for your convention. So I just want to give a statistic out here real quick. As of right now, we have 232 conventions that we have graded on our report card.
Wow.
By no means, though, it sounds like a lot, but it's not even close to all of them. So, and right now it's mostly the US, a little bit in Canada, and I think we have a couple other countries that are sort of starting to communicate with us about their policies. But out of 232, only 7 have 6 out of 6. Only 7. That is 0.03% of your conventions will account for all of those situations that you might need help in.
It's staggering. I mean, that's part of the reason why I shared that list on our social media, because I was like, wow, how many and how few actually have very valid, just resourceful, like really good harassment policies. And so many are just blanket the same and don't really help anybody.
And that's not even all of them. There are far more than that, because the shorthand was that, oh, there's 2 conventions every weekend in the United States. Well, that's just in the US. That's not everywhere.
Oh, not by a long shot. Well, on that note then, since you have this really robust system and network of just all these cons that are already listed, have you received any feedback from convention staff regarding your approach and how you guys rate the harassment system?
Yeah, we've started to sort of hear some feedback here and there. There was an incident on Twitter recently that caused people to sort of find us more frequently than they might otherwise. And after that happened, we had a lot of people who were con runners or organizers sort of approach us and ask, hey, you didn't rate our con. Could you take a look at our policy? And while that's not necessarily like, you know, we think that will work or we think that'll help us do whatever, it's still, you know, them communicating with us in a way that we were hoping for, but not necessarily expecting based on history. So I would say that only out of, I don't know how many we got. We got a whole ton. We were probably only about 100 some when we were getting these messages at the beginning, and now we are up to that 232. So it's quite a few that we've continued to grade over time. As far as how it works after we've told them what their grade is, I have a couple different examples here. There was one convention where it was fairly new and it wanted to attract cosplayers. And I said, hey, well, you know, you're probably going to want a really good harassment policy, because if you didn't have them before and now you're going to have them, it's kind of like, look at these people you're supposed to look at and take pictures of. So you're going to want something in place to protect them. Well, the person got back to me and was like, well, that seems kind of rude. You're kind of like condescending me with this information. I was like, in what way am I? I'm telling you how it is at other conventions and how we actually have to deal with these things. How is that condescending? And then I just kind of got brushed off. Not surprised. Then I had another one where I called them out on their inability to help my friend when she was in a situation where she felt like she was being stalked. And she went up to the security, which was at that time a cop, and said, hey, I think this person's harassing me. And they said, well, we don't know if it's maybe your ex and you're just jealous or something. Excuse you? Even if it were, we still have to protect those people. Absolutely. I can't understand what that logic was, but I called them out on it on Twitter, and they were, you know, apologetic. They were, yeah, we're going to look over our policies and everything. And if you go to our report card now, it's not much better, unfortunately. So, you know, you can take steps to actually make it better, but you have to listen to what we're saying those steps are and actually work with those people. Otherwise, you're not doing much, just like that con. There was, however, a recent con where I was really successful in reaching out to, I think it was just the informational email, because I wanted to speak about some other things. And I said, hey, you know, just so you know, this is how you're graded on our website here. And I personally experienced some harassment at that con last year. And I want you to know that it wasn't even when I was in cosplay. And having cosplay as not consent is really kind of not helpful and kind of makes me feel like, you know, there are situations people should be excluded from being protected. So they actually took it to their board and they had a big discussion. And this year they knocked it out of the park. They ramped up everything. I could tell that their security knew what was going on. You know, their policy was just great. It was way better than it was before. I believe they actually had 0 out of 6 at the start of it. And now they're one of our very few 0.03% that will actually protect you in every situation. So, and then there was another con I'd just like to bring up briefly. I will be guesting at a con in a little bit. And one thing that I did when they reached out to me and asked, you know, would you be interested, was, well, what's your policy? You know, let me take a look at that, because I don't know if I'm comfortable going to a convention that won't protect me. So by doing that, I was hoping to protect everybody else who might have, you know, needed that in the future. Even if it's a small con right now, that doesn't mean it can't get huge, and you need to have that infrastructure in place. So those are sort of the realms of experience we've had with people reaching out to us.
So obviously there are always ways that conventions can improve, like just as you showed with your success story where it went from 0 to 6 stars, which is actually phenomenal. Good on them. So what is one major thing that cons can do to improve their harassment policies?
I would say, though, that the number one thing that I want to see changed is stop it with the cosplay is not consent. And it's not to say that it hasn't done something for our community, because it has woken people up to it, but it's not going far enough. And here's how. Cosplay is not consent. It doesn't define what consent is for people who might not understand it or know that it means more than just sexual activities or things like that. It does not define the consequences for breaking that consent. It also does not define where the person who is being targeted can go to feel safer or what resources there might be, like no contact to find somebody. And it just implies that it's only cosplayers, and it's not. I mean, as a cosplayer, I've seen both sides of it. You would be surprised the ones that you get harassed in. It doesn't even matter what you're wearing at all. In fact, sometimes the skimpy ones aren't the ones that get you, you know, catcalled, because they're afraid of you. So, you know, so I would like to see, you know, changes in policy based on those needs. A lot of conventions also think that saying go to the police if something is happening is a good way of handling it. And I just want to say, no, actually, that's not really great, because not only are you wasting their time, if it's an incident of minor harassment or, you know, even the stalking that my friend experienced, they're probably going to have other bigger things like a fight happening in, you know, the dealer's room that will call their attention that they, you know, need to be there, and they won't take your case seriously. Not only that, but they might ask for evidence depending on, you know, what kind of a situation it is. I know that when I was sexually assaulted, I didn't report, and that was for a number of reasons, but it was, you know, intimidating. It's intrusive. There are a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to go to the police, for sure. And especially these days, if you're Black, do you really want to go to the police? I mean, like, think about it. Do you think you're going to be taken seriously? We have so many amazing Black cosplayers in this community that, like, saying go to the cops, are you even kidding me? It's just offensive to me at that point, because it's so inefficient. There are way more situations that could be dealt with outside of having the police involved. That being said, of course, if it escalates bad enough, feel free to contact the police, but that should never be your number one go-to. So in terms of actually improving based on, you know, the needs for cosplays not consent being improved, we want your policy to be easy to find. We want it to be to include a definition of both harassment and the consequences of harassing somebody or whatever, you know, ends up happening, stalking, etc. We want you to address the fact that sometimes it could be a staff member or a security member or a con chair that's doing the harassing, the abusing, or the assaulting. It really is way more common than people think. And especially when people have positions of power, that's exactly what they're doing. They're abusing those positions, and they know that you don't want to speak out. So they're just going to hold it, you know, against you because you don't know what to do. A lot of cons don't acknowledge anything further than go to staff if you have a problem. Also, what if I physically can't go to staff? What if I am in the con space, but, you know, I am shaken so terribly, or if I just don't want to talk to people, if I want to hide in the bathroom stall, what are your accommodations for that? If I have to go to staff, I'm not going to go to staff. You know, that's why we don't see a lot of people stepping up, is because that's the only option at a lot of cons. So if at all possible, we want your convention to have somebody to contact, ideally like a third party, because, you know, if you have a con chair involved, they're going to know somebody, and it could be their friend, to contact via phone or like an email, something like that, so that somebody could access it anywhere. I really like, I'll say Techo, because I'll be there in the upcoming months. They have a great policy. They're one of our 6 out of 6, and they post on the bathroom stalls on the inside their whole harassment policy and who to contact for resources if you feel you need help beyond just at the convention. So it's really fantastic. I'd love to see much more of that. And you know, there's a lot of predators being outed in our community right now. I would say that I want to work toward a solution for that, but we don't know quite what it is yet. And it's certainly not spreadsheets. It might be more on the side of, you know, conventions just making sure that the public knows that if somebody's been banned, they're going to be consistently banned and not just 1 year, one incident, or even one day, you know, sometimes. There's also the issue of there's these things called ahegao shirts. They're like lewd drawings on of like primarily women's faces in situations that are quite overtly sexual, but it's just the face. But it's one of those things where if an underage person sees that, you know, that's going to be inappropriate. They're not asking to see that content. I'm not asking to see that content. I would love for more cons to step up and add that to go above and beyond. So that would be really fantastic. I mean, we did it for glomping. We did it for yaoi paddles. Like, we can do it for all of this stuff. We absolutely can.
Those are all very, very good suggestions, especially since this year, this seems to be the year where Me Too is finally starting to hit the con scene, and we're starting to talk about our experiences and letting people know, hey, this is not appropriate anymore. It's time for us to take responsibility for this and make things better.
But also, there are a lot of wonderful resources that you can sort of educate yourself with. The Consent Guidebook by Aaron Tillman, Uplift is great for training your staff and actually upgrading your policy. They will work with you. They would love to. Uplifttogether.org and conresources.org as well. And then, of course, you can reach out to us and see, you know, if you can, you know, if there's anything that you can do to improve. We would love to talk to you.
And your website is?
cosplayer-ssn.org.
And of course, we encourage Potters to go out and educate yourself, please, with all of these wonderful resources that we now have at our disposal that we didn't have, you know, even say 2 years ago. It's really awesome that we have organizations like this that can really help people like us and those in the cosplay community and those outside of the cosplay community to just all come to a better understanding of what this is so that we can just make it a much better experience for everybody involved. And so we would like to say thank you once again for coming on the show and helping us out with this. We really, really appreciate it. And we think that it's a really good topic for everybody to be involved with.
Thank you so much for your time.
As you guys may have noticed, this is a little bit more serious of a topic than what we normally cover. And so in light of that, we do still definitely invite you guys to participate in the community in our comments section on all of our various social media. If you guys want to email us, to chat with us about the topic, we welcome your interaction. We do, however, ask that because this is so serious of a topic, we do ask that you keep it family friendly. And we do ask that, you know, controversial topics are marked as such, just because it can elicit a lot of debate, and we do want to keep things civil. So that said, we would, of course, like to thank CSSN for being here with us for the interview. But of course, if you would like to chat with us on any other topics, in addition to the one that we just covered in our interview, we do welcome the interaction with you guys. We do love chatting with you guys in all of our various social media and our Discord channel, which of course you can find here.
I've already clicked way too early over here, but that's okay. It means more time for me to do this.
Of course, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will promptly receive two responses that are completely different.
Completely different, and yet they say the same thing.
We are two, and yet one.
When two becomes one.
I'm telling you guys, if you want Cospod the Musical, all you have to do, 20 ratings and reviews on iTunes.
No, thank you.
Day that happens. When there are actually verifiable ratings and reviews, not bots, yes, we have ways of telling, then we can do Cospod the Musical. Until then, sorry guys, you only get these little previews here and there.
I will auto-tune the crap out of myself. I will sound like Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast. And I'm not afraid to do that.
I never said it would be a good musical. We would like to thank you guys for listening to the show. We would like to thank you for being with us. We would like to thank you for sharing the show with all of your friends. So if you guys enjoy us, if you enjoy the ad-free experience that we are providing for you guys every other week, we do invite you to, of course, share the love. Spread the love on social media. Invite others to listen into the show and contribute as well. With that, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying and see you guys in episode 184. Bye, everybody.
Bye-ya.